Tonight on Arena, Mark O'Halloran on his new film Rialto, adapted from his play Trade, and we review Dez, the true crime story of serial killer Dennis Nielsen. Themes of sexual repression and deep self-hatred dominate the new Irish feature film Rialto. It stars Tom Vaughan Lawler as Colm, a married middle-aged father in crisis whose life unravels as he becomes increasingly obsessed with a young male prostitute, Jay, who in turn is trying to keep his own head above water by extracting money from Colm. The film was written by Mark O'Halloran and it's based on his 2011 award-winning play Trade. And delighted to have Mark O'Halloran with me in studio to talk more about the film and the play, I suppose, in some ways, Mark. But tell us where Colm, the character played by Tom Vaughan Lawler, where he's at as we meet him. He's not in a good place, it has to be said.
He's not in a good place. He's a man who might define himself as ineffectual in a way. And he had a quite difficult relationship with his father. And his father has just died a month before the film starts. And it kickstarts an emotional crisis in his life that takes him to very unexpected places and causes him to almost pull his life down around his ears, basically.
Is that what he is doing himself? Is he actively pulling that life down around his ears, do you think? Or have the circumstances just brought him to that point?
I think one of the things, he encounters this young man who initially robs his wallet and slaps him about the place. And his own self-worth is so on its knees that it causes him to think that he's fallen in love with this character, or this character is being honest with him. And his own layers of self-hatred and emotional abuse from his father have made his own ability to communicate with his family to fail, and he begins to lose himself. So he can't value himself in any way, but he's able to have honest conversations with this young man who he pays sometimes for sex and sometimes just to listen, whilst he, I suppose, selfishly unloads his own emotional pain on this boy.
Actually, let's listen to a clip where he's doing precisely that. Tom Vaughan Lawler, as I said, playing the character of Colm, and young actor Tom Glyn Carney. Obviously, you have to be called Tom and have a double-barred name to be in the film.
And the director is Peter Mackie Burns. I was the only person without a double-barred name on the shoot.
Which are, you've got a no in there.
I've got a no, that's true.
Nearly there. But in the clip that we're about to hear, you'll hear Colm opening up to Jay, particularly about the whole idea around complicated relationships with fathers. And there's a bit of language in the midst of this as well.
We all hate our dads, do we?
I don't know.
Supposed to, I think. It's natural. All straight lines, my dad was. He terrorised everyone in our house, any fucking round people. Only I'm not angry at him.
No.
All he was, the end, was an accumulation of fucking lies, really. Isn't that hard?
I don't know.
It's awful. I hate it, and it makes me afraid. I don't want to be like him. I don't want to go and be gone and have people put me together different after, you know? I want to be straight out. I want a life. I want to be a good person.
That's Tom Vaughan Lawler there as Colm and Tom Glyn Carney as Jay in Rialto, new film written by Mark O'Halloran. Mark with me in studio speaking about it this evening. You get a sense of it, particularly in that scene, Mark. The origins of this film was your 2011 play Trade, which was a two-hander set in a bedroom, in fact, if I remember right. It was only a short few people went in at a time to sit watching this relationship or this conversation between these two men.
It was part of the Dublin Theatre Festival at the time, and they did a certain amount of site-specific work. So what we did is we got a large bedroom in one of those Georgian B&Bs on North Denmark Street. And we built a small little rake of seating inside there so 30 people could go in. And there was a bedroom, a little ensuite toilet. We were able to control the light coming in and out of the windows, so we were able to do day and night or whatever. Mm. And it was just a conversation between a rent boy and an older man. and about the emotional difficulties that the older man was having in his life. And then for the film, then we just expanded that world. You know, we took it out of that bedroom setting. But those scenes, like the one that you just played, was part of the play, actually.
Yeah, so you just lifted the script and replanted it, I suppose, into the film script or the screenplay. But it is interesting, and I wondered how difficult it was to actually, because what I remember is that intimacy that you really, I'm looking in, I almost should I be here? I'm in the bedroom with these two men, and I shouldn't be watching anything or listening to anything they're saying, never mind the watching, listening to the intimate conversation. Was it difficult to expand it out?
Well, there was a certain amount of the voyeuristic thing of being in a bedroom watching two people having a conversation before they have sex. When you expand it out into the film world, it kind of like you have to invent a whole new world. So it's, and also the language of it has to change, because I think there's a certain lyrical quality that you can get away with in theatre spaces that you can't get away with on camera. Once the camera's on you, you have to lower the kind of the heat of the language in certain ways. So there was a kind of, it took me a while to get it right, I think. There was a few drafts of it, all right. And you also then had to put the character of his wife on the screen. You had to put his daughter and his son on the screen there. So that was kind of, when you're alluding to them in a play where they don't exist, when you try and make them exist, they sometimes change the dynamic of something. You suddenly realise, well, actually, she's able to offer him this. And yeah, if she does, will that be interesting, you know?
Particularly the wife character, Claire, played by Monica Dolan in the film, that relationship is really expanded out from the intimacy of that two-hander play. That relationship really becomes something else, and we see a whole other side to Colm. In fact, that perhaps what he's dealing with here is not just about sexuality.
No, I think it's a profound loss of self. He loses himself completely. He goes, he loses his job. He has lost his father, whom he defined himself through. I am my dad's disappointment. I am my dad's whipping boy at home. And actually, the character of the wife, played so beautifully by Monica Dolan, is this woman who actually cares and loves for him, but he hates himself so much that he can't accept it. He can't accept it off her. Or he's so close to her that he can't see that it's being offered. The scenes, the two of them are so beautiful in the film. The scenes of heartbreak that they have are, I think they're really special, actually.
Because she really is trying to understand, but of course he just won't, he can't tell, he can't.
The character had been off alcohol for a number of years and is suddenly back drinking after his father's death, and he's rapidly going downhill. He doesn't sleep for 5 days, basically. And
this is, finds out he's going to be made redundant in the midst of all of this as well. You filled this one full of gags, Mark. It was one of the things that our reviewers picked up on, that it was, it's fairly grim stuff, isn't it?
Well, I was kind of, sometimes you're in a place where you want to write something very dark. And I decided to push it as far as I could. I wanted to produce a kind of a bleak portrait, because some people suffer in this way. And it didn't fit it. I couldn't find a stylistic way of doing it that could include some gags going on. I'm really interested in how men suffer loneliness and how that loneliness is different to how women suffer loneliness in some ways. I said to somebody the other day that I think that if Monica Dolan's character, his wife, if she had suffered a profound crisis like that, it wouldn't have destroyed the family. But his profound crisis, he's willing to sacrifice his family because he can't get out of his own head. He can't speak to people about his feelings. He can't access that help.
I'm interested, though, why you think that her situation would have been different. I mean, obviously, this is a different play that you can, or script that you can start to write when you finish speaking with me.
But
I'm wondering, is that because perhaps she would have a network of friends or companions with whom she might speak, whereas Colm, he has one pal in the play, but, they don't really talk to each other.
No.
Jay's the first person he talks to.
Yeah, I think that in generalities, of course, that men can isolate themselves or can be made to feel embarrassed about talking about their feelings, whereas women are not made to feel that in general terms. But I also think that his wife has a very healthy relationship with with their children. And I think she's able to access support and help and able to talk to him. One of the reasons I wanted to write the play was I wanted to write a play about somebody who doesn't or thinks they don't like their children. yeah. which is a very unusual thing to want to write a play about. But
although I did say in your defence last week when we were reviewing as well, I said I think the relationship with the daughter between Colm
very
and there's a kind of a lightness about that, and there are things going on. Don't want to spoil it on the viewer, mm-hmm. but there are things going on there that you think, oh, that's interesting that line is running through her character.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that of all of them, she accepts him.
Yeah,
she even accepts his crisis. You know, whereas his son goes like, why are you pulling us down with you? Where she goes, she holds out, you know, there's a scene in it where she holds out her hand to him and she goes, let me take your hand. And I felt that was a, maybe I feel that sometimes in these situations, women can be more generous.
Yeah, Sophie Jo Watson plays
who's absolutely brilliant. Young actress.
And Scott Graham plays the
and he's
the son
brilliant
Shane,
as well.
No, that's a different relationship. But
there's an explosive element to that relationship.
It's the alpha male thing. Who's going to remain the alpha male after this breakup kind of thing. We do have to talk and listen a little bit more to Dom Glencairn, who plays the character of Jay. Before I play this clip, mm-hmm. tell me where Tom Glencairn is from.
Tom Glencairn is from England, and he's from the north of England, as far as I know. I'm not sure exactly whereabouts. He does the most sensationally note-perfect Dublin accent.
Let's listen to him, and we'll talk about that subsequently. Again, this is between Jay, played by Tom Glencairn, and Tom Von Lawler's Colm. And Jay is talking about how he got into male prostitution as a young teen and strong language in the midst of this as well.
When did you start doing this? Why?
What?
Selling.
Does it matter?
I think so. I'd like to know anyways.
Ages back.
And?
At school I'd go missing, yeah. People didn't give a fuck. Me and a few mates down around Ballybock or Fairview Park. This one time the lads was gone. I don't know why, I was there on my own. We'd been drinking, and this bloke stops, this old fella sits down, starts talking, saying all weird shit about women and that. It was funny. He had a car, that's all, so I went with him. He gave me money after. And we was just laughing my hole off, you know? It was easy, I was 14.
I don't think you should have done that.
It was all right. Most lads are, you know. Only some's are dirty bastards. I can spot them now.
I'm not one of them.
We know you're not.
Tom Glencairn as Jay, Tom Von Lawler as Colm in a scene from Rialto, and screenwriter Mark O'Halloran with me in studio. It is absolutely note perfect. I didn't know this actor at all. I thought, oh, this is a young Dublin actor. I just haven't seen him on the stage before. There is a reason he has there are many reasons. He's a good actor, obviously, but there's another reason why he has a good accent.
Well, he was in a film, he was in Dunkirk with Barry Keoghan, and apparently Barry Keoghan taught him how to do the accent.
He taught him very well.
And actually, you know, Barry is from around the Sheriff Street area, and the accent sound, you could place it in the Dublin north inner city for sure.
Why did it become Rialto, by the way? Colm's mother lives in Rialto. That's part of the
part
thing.
Of it.
But why did you want that title instead of trade?
Well, we had English producers and they felt that the word trade has a stronger connotation to it in England, so that it's more recognisable as being somebody who, a young man who sells their body for sex. That's looked at as being trade, whereas they wanted something a little that was a bit softer or something. But I called it then, they asked did I have any other title in mind, and I had just moved to Rialto myself. So, and I like the name. And then subsequently we ended up premiering it at the Venice Film Festival. So they were going like, you know, what's the connection with the Rialto Bridge? And I said, the only Rialto Bridge I know is in Dublin 8.
Did they say Rialto Bridge like that?
Rialto.
Anyway, you chose Rialto as the...
I chose Rialto, and it's, you know, Rialto is a word that's also connected with commerce in a way. It was the area of Venice where they bought and sold stocks and bonds and all of that. So
we've been talking about Tom Von Lawler's character, Colm, and how isolated he is and how, you know, things are falling apart from him. Isolation, it certainly is the theme of the moment, isn't it? How are you finding the whole pandemic situation?
Well, I mean, I I live alone. I've lived alone for quite a long time. So the end of the world happened and my life didn't change that much, really, to be honest with you. I did find the start of it quite difficult, as all of us did. It seemed to come at us very quickly, and suddenly you were locked down. I had loads of work to do. I've had a number of commissions to write things. So I'm writing the new Sally Rooney adaptation and bits of other television that's going on. So I was very busy, but the loneliness of it eventually kind of overtakes you. You know, you're not allowed to go visit your mum, or you have to stand a little back from your next door neighbours.
Obviously, as a writer, that working in isolation and working, you know, by yourself, that works for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. But for the sector in general, there's real worry out there in terms of, you know, when can we get back? Live theatre is off the menu.
I think
at
you
the
can
moment.
Film things with certain caveats, like, you know, it's very difficult to use extras or background artists because they will be coming in just for one day, and you're getting testing done to allow that is difficult. But with live theatre or live music or anything, like, where do you put an audience and how can you place an audience safely? And the sector hasn't been able to work that out yet, you know, and it's frightening times. I mean, it is really hard to believe that theatres have been closed for nearly 7 months now and will, I think, be closed until there's a vaccine. It's frightening. But then there's other things that are happening, like the Irish National Opera are doing
a season of mini operas.
That I'm writing two of them. And it's that those kind of, I think there has to be some sort of innovation within the industry as well, that we've got to kind of not just go silent, but find ways of accessing an audience. And online, of course, is one of the great ways. I think the Abbey did it with the Dear Ireland thing.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think things are happening, but it is, you know, it's going to be so delightful to go back into a bar, to go back into the theatre, to go back to a cinema. Like, when that happens, we'll know that we have the world back.
Mark O'Halloran, great to speak with you. Thanks for coming in.